Hey everyone, and welcome to Hero's Journey Physio Fitness. Our mission is guiding people to reclaim their health and become self-reliant. I'm your host, Dr. Cameron Hoag, and joining me is my co-host, Anibal Rios.
All right, we are going live in 3, 2, 1.
You sounded like one of those boxing officials or something like that. Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from around the world, all the way from Mexico.
Sometimes I think I'm so funny and I make myself laugh.
I think you're pretty funny, man.
Do you ever have those moments where you're just walking around town and out of nowhere you start laughing and people are going, he's crazy. It's like, but yeah, but you didn't hear the joke I just said in my head.
And I said it perfectly in my head. No, I did that all the time, man. I actually used to, I get deep in thought a lot of the times.
Oh, yeah.
And I can just remember like walking across campus in college or in PT school and just being deep in thought. And someone might come up and say something to me. I'm like, oh, because I don't know what to say back because I've just been, you know, you're just totally thinking about something else. And then someone comes and talks to you and you're like, oh, what? So I know what you're talking about.
Or when you're like, when you start a conversation, but you're mid-sentence in your head and they're like, I have no idea what you're saying. I'm like, I'm sorry. I was like mid-thought and then I just started from where I left off.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
So we've got an interesting episode today. I hope you guys will enjoy it.
It's something that we've never ever done. You need to stay tuned for this one.
I was going to say it's the first of its kind, but people do this all the time. It's the first time we've done this. So everybody probably knows who Andrew Huberman is. If you don't, I'm going to pull him up on my phone real quick and just read his Wikipedia. But Andrew David Huberman, he has the same middle name as me, so shout out to him, is an American neuroscientist and podcaster. He's the associate professor of neurobiology and ophthalmology at Stanford University School of Medicine. You've probably heard of him. He's got a very famous podcast called the Huberman Lab podcast. He's been on many podcasts and is known for bringing science-related, you know, ideas and information to the public for free. So he's also known in, Anibal, you've heard of some of like his protocols, right?
Yeah, he's known as the ladies man. Is that not what you're talking about?
No, not the recent.
Sorry, different protocol.
Dude. For those who, there was a thing that just came out about him and everything. That's not what we're talking about. Anibal's just.
Sorry, he has a lot of protocols. That one is for the after hour special, guys.
Yeah, he's known for his protocols, whether it be the sauna or early morning or your caffeine intake, but he's got a fitness protocol. So what Anibal and I want to do is we want to go through it. We'll share the link. It's free. He has it free for the public online. We're going to share it just in case. It just sounds, you know, something you'd want to try. But basically, we want to go through it and just kind of give our thoughts on it. And basically, should somebody who is just starting out or who has on and off experience or, you know, has less than a year, maybe two of gym, consistent gym experience, should they do a protocol like this or not? And kind of go through it in that perspective.
Yeah, because I think there are so many individuals that we may look up to or we may want to do their routine or live a similar structure of life. And is it for you? Where you are right now, and that's kind of what we want to talk about.
I mean, I remember when I started trying to get into fitness, I did the Dwayne Johnson protocol from Men's Health or whatever that was, and it's like, did he start off doing this? And probably not. Mm-hmm. And was that a good starting off protocol and routine for me? It was not. But you know, you look at somebody and you go, well, if they're doing that, then I need to do that. But that doesn't take into account, you know, did they start that way? And the answer is most likely not. So anywho, I like that thought, Anibal, because I think a lot of people do that. They look at whoever and they try and follow that routine because that's what they're doing, but that's not how they started or would have done had they been in our place or, you know, our listeners' place at their specific time.
Yeah, exactly. And he's asking different questions, guys.
Yeah. But it's a good one. So Anibal, take us through his day one.
Day one. which we all know what the first day of the week is, the Lord's Day, Sunday.
Sunday, baby.
And he has a long endurance workout, where he's really just trying to focus on zone two cardio. And he does say, ideally, 60 to 75 minutes. And he points out you need to work up to it. Meaning some jogging, rowing, cycling, swimming, hiking, things along those lines. And really emphasizing nasal breathing. Oh, he is also very big on not being a mouth breather.
Yeah.
And really trying to breathe in through your nose.
Well, there actually are a lot of health benefits of nasal breathing versus mouth breathing. You know, at least for cardio, it does help with like lung capacity and blood circulation. You know, it'll help control your breathing better too, where you're not just like gasping. It kind of like sets that better for most people.
Yeah, well, I think you've called it diaphragmic breathing, that deep belly breathing.
Right, and not just like you're saying, just trying to suck
shallow
it out.
Breath.
Yeah, shallow breath, suck down air, you know, breathing through your chest. So nasal breathing helps to kind of not cycle that, helps to regulate that. But so with this, a long endurance workout, we like that. I like that. I like he said on there, you could use a weighted vest. You know, recently it takes me about, I don't know, an hour, maybe 20 minutes to mow my lawn. So I've been putting a weighted vest on while I mow and kind of using that as, you know, like kind of a long endurance workout type deal. It's also a push mower with no self-propelled. So it gives me a little bit of a workout. And that's kind of what I've been doing for that. But I do like that he talks about zone two. So with like this long stuff, you want to run your easy days easy and your hard days hard. And this is what you'd call an easy day, where you're trying to do it for long periods of time. So you're not trying to gas yourself. Some people fall into that trap of, oh, I've got to set a new PR record on my long run. And what this is just saying is, no, you're just trying to build up the reps. You're just trying to go for that period of time, focus on nasal breathing. Zone two, meaning like you can still carry on a conversation, but no more.
Yeah. No, I think too, for beginners, is you need to know where you're starting, and you may not be able to go as hard or as long. What's the next one, Doc?
Okay, so after the long endurance day one on Sunday, he says on Monday is going to be legs resistance training, or like weights, working on your legs. So with that, he says do about a 10-minute warm-up and then focus about 50, maybe 60 minutes of actually training your legs. So basically for roughly an hour long. And what he likes to do is he likes to work the muscles in the lengthened position and the shortened position. So like for the legs, you got the quadriceps, hamstrings, and calves is what he put in there. So quadriceps, an example, he said he does leg extensions for the lengthened position and the hack squat for the shortened position. For hamstrings, he does leg curls, lengthened position, glute ham raise for the shortened position. For calves, he does, you know, standing calf raises and seated calf raises. Kind of trying to work them basically from different angles. You don't really have to think about lengthened and shortened positions. You can, if that makes sense to you, or you can just think about the angles. Like, am I doing one, you know, sitting versus standing? Am I doing one where the weight is above me or below me? All that kind of stuff. So pretty common. But I do like that he's incorporating at least two different exercises per muscle group on his leg day.
I also like that he cycles his reps. I think a lot of times a lot of people get into the habit of doing the same reps, doing the same weight. And what he likes to do is that he has a schedule A and schedule B. So for an entire month, he's going to focus on like heavier weights, meaning that 4 to 8 rep range. And he does that for about a month, resting between 2 to 4 minutes. Because when you're lifting heavy, you do need more time to recover in between sets. And then also, the next month, he would do more of a hypertrophy, the lighter weight, more volume of 8 to 15 reps. And this one, the rest time is a little bit shorter, but then he's cycling on and off every month. to kind of help with that stimulus. And I think that was pretty good to have that on there. I like that.
Yeah. So he also said that he likes to do legs at the beginning of the week because legs are also one of the major muscle groups that also stimulates and encourages testosterone and growth hormone and other things like that. So he says he wants to hit that earlier in the week so that way his body is, you know, more apt for the rest of his training week because he kind of hit legs hard and kind of stirred up those neuropathways and hormone releases and stuff like that, which is true. Like hitting bigger muscle groups does allow for more production, more release of some of those more anabolic hormones. So that's his day two on Monday. Anibal, what is his day three on Tuesday?
Tuesday is recovery day for him. And this is something that I think is becoming more and more popular. Is the
I think he kind of popularized it.
It wasn't him. I wouldn't be surprised.
It probably was him.
Probably. I think it's like you see it everywhere now. It was probably him. The whole hot and cold, meaning he goes in the sauna for 20 minutes and then he goes into his ice bath for about 5 minutes, and he does this 3 to 5 times.
So that's a lot.
That's a lot. And I think there's a lot of benefits to it that's been shown for recovery as a whole. I think a lot of people say it can help you with like fat loss and weight loss. And we don't want to get into that because a lot of people do it for the wrong reasons. But I think he's doing it more so for just recovering as a whole.
He also has talked in length about the mental benefits of doing things that are really hard when it comes to temperature exposure, like hot or cold. So he's big on to like, you know, doing something like that because you also gain willpower and kind of the mental fortitude to do something hard like that that isn't just lifting weights. And, you know, like you said, Amble, there are benefits to doing these things, no doubt. And I think there's more and more research coming out about it. I do think some of the trendy biohacky stuff is kind of overplayed, kind of like you're saying. Like, you know, the cold is going to target these brown fat, you know, and not this other type of fat. And it's like, maybe, you know, I haven't looked in depth about that, but we do know that cold helps with recovery. Like 100%, we know that. I've run a few, ran a marathon and then have run like, that's called the 48 challenge. We ended up running 48 miles in a couple days, and the ice bath literally saved me. It helped me recover so much quicker, not just after the race, but even like during the one that was a couple of days long. And there is no doubt a benefit to allowing your body to kind of keep going, especially if you're pushing it really hard during the week and all that. But then on the flip side, you also keep talking about the ice bath. You don't want to do it immediately after a workout because that can't. There are some studies showing that will stop the hypertrophy or muscle protein synthesis from happening because it stops the inflammatory process and all this kind of stuff. So it is more of like a recovery tool for like he's doing the next day or maybe you do it before your workout or something like that. But he has this whole separate day for all this stuff. And that is his day number three.
Okay.
Okay, and then, okay, so Wednesday, day number four, he calls it his torso and neck training, which I thought was interesting. Most people call it chest and back, but he calls it torso and neck, and he's kind of got like hyphen or parentheses. It indirectly trains the arms. So again, what he does is just about a 10-minute warm-up, followed by about 50 to 60 minutes of exercise, and He has it on here. It's a push-pull type training, chest, back. And he also incorporates in that training his neck. And we've had a podcast episode in the past about neck training. And again, guys, you only get one neck, so make sure you take care of it. And the exercises that he recommends is actually from a physical therapist and athletic trainer named Jeff Cavalier. He's probably got the most popular YouTube fitness page ever. He's kind of like the OG on YouTube and everything like that. But essentially, his protocol was the same protocol that we talked about in that episode from some research articles, where you were lying on a bench and you kind of keep your chin retracted back, and you could build up to weight, obviously, but you're doing like your neck retracted and doing neck flexion where you're going forward. Then you flip over and you're face down, chin retracted, you're going up into neck extension. Then you kind of flip over, lay on your side and keep your neck retracted and kind of doing what we call side bending. You do both sides and you can build up using weight. That's a good way to do it. I don't think doing bridges on the floor is the best way. That's providing too much cervical compression. And I would rather you do neck training in the non-weight bearing position, just safer. So he includes that on the neck and torso training day.
The video description.
We'll put the video in the description, yeah. So again, he does lengthened and shortened positions, 2 for the chest, 2 for the back, 2 for the shoulders. Chest, he likes the incline press. Annabelle's a big fan of the incline press.
It just hits different.
And actually, so you'll do less weight on the incline bench press. Annabelle's kind of won me over on it because it does hit a little bit different. And I feel like for most guys, like myself included, I'm weaker in like this upper
shelf.
Annabelle calls it the upper shelf. Yeah. The upper part of your pectoralis major and kind of where the pec minor is. And this does shift the emphasis from like mid pec, lower pec, more to that upper pec, just because of the angle. And like Amel said, works that upper shelf. It's lacking on a lot of people. It's lacking on me. So I'm kind of, he's got me, he won me over. I've been doing that in my workouts now. And then he does like a cable fly. What were we about to say, Annabelle?
The fly's great. You've been talking about it. I'll have to incorporate it at some point.
And then for back, he does chin-ups or pull-ups, and then some sort of row, dumbbell row, cable row. Shoulders, again, he's going to hit shoulder press and lateral raise, and then sometimes he'll do shoulder press and rear delt flies, kind of, again, focusing on the shoulder. And that is his torso and neck training day. And he does those neck exercises as well. What's day number 5, Anna?
Routine. So on Thursday, day 5... He likes doing more of a moderate intensity cardio session, meaning 75% to 80% effort. So
obviously you're above zone 2 at this point.
Yeah, so you know what that intensity is going to look like for you. That a bit more intense pace, about 35 minutes of either running, rowing, cycling, something that he can do outside. Ideally, it's what he prefers, being outside and getting the sunshine. And man, I'm looking at this. I'm like, this is definitely not beginner friendly. As I was looking, I'm like, this is really good, but I think it's more. I think we were talking about like more so like intermediate to maybe above.
Yeah, we actually don't have any notes on this. We've just read through the protocol and we've got our kind of thoughts on it. So this is like unscripted. We're just kind of reviewing his routine
on the fly, letting it rip.
Let her rip. But yeah, Annabelle, I do agree with you. So far, this thing is pretty intense, and there's still 2 more days worth of training in his protocol. And I know for myself, I would find it very hard to have kept up so far with this routine, because we get busy, you know, especially for all the dads out there, or parents, or people who work multiple jobs. A 7-day split, one of them obviously being that recovery day with the sauna, but that still takes an hour, if not more, if you're repeating that cycle 5 times for 20 minutes in the sauna, 5 minutes in the ice bath, like that's a lot of time you're spending on this.
Yeah, that's to say that it's not a good routine. It's just saying that it may not be for you right now.
Yeah,
I think we've talked about it before, but you need to stack and add things throughout your whole fitness journey.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's done this over his time. He didn't start doing all of these.
Because like right now, this sounds incredible. Like if you could follow something like this, this would be a very good routine to follow, especially for longevity, because it's adequately working muscle groups. You know, so far it's hitting, you know, at least 2 exercises per muscle group, per day. And then you're hitting that kind of twice a week, one directly, one indirectly. And then you're also getting the cardio benefits, like working your cardiovascular system through different lenses, through different metabolic pathways, one being long, one being kind of moderate intensity, when the next one we're going to see is high intensity. So like beautiful, like he's putting it all in here, but it's a lot. We're going to give you our recommendations at the end, but so day number six now, so that was day number five, Anibal went through like the moderate intensity. On day six, it's HIIT training. So that's high intensity interval training. So, you know, those are things like, I think they're called Tabatas, where you go 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, or there's different protocols you can do. Like he recommends 20 to 60 seconds all out. Like you're going 90%+ with like 10 seconds rest. You're trying to do rounds of this. You know, you need to make sure you know what your max heart rate is. You want to do about 120 minus your age, and that'll kind of give you what your max heart rate is. So you don't want to go more than that because that's technically, theoretically higher than what your heart can handle. So don't do that. And he recommends doing things like the assault bike, which is killer, jogging intervals or sprinting intervals, you know, all out sprints on a rower, skier. Basically, it's something that you have access to and can do with good form. But high intensity stuff is phenomenal.
There are so many benefits to it. And I think what you're saying is spot on, Doc. I heard it once said, what is it like, weight training is for the quality of your life. I mean, lifting weights, that is. And cardio is more for like the longevity of your life.
That's really well put. You know, I totally agree with that. I know Dr. Peter Attia talks a lot about zone 2 cardio and VO2 max being very big predictors of longevity. But on the other side, he also has talked about strength being a huge predictor of longevity. You know, we had an episode talking about grip strength, and there's a lot of research that shows how when grip strength starts to decline, it also is an indicator of your health. And the stronger someone's grip strength is, so to speak, you know, the longer their predicted lifespan will be. Mainly because of, you know, your hands are the first contact with, you know, the bar or the weight or whatever. And usually that means that you're adequately, you know, exercising and stuff like that. But there are, or maybe you have a physical job and you're using your hands a lot and stuff.
It's to show both of them are important for different reasons.
Right, exactly. Okay, so Anibal, what's day number seven on Saturday?
Saturday. All right. Man, he starts out all his... with a 10-minute warm-up plus the training, it takes about 50 minutes. This one's going to be focusing more on arms, necks, and calves. You cannot forget the calves, guys, especially during the summer. You know, you don't want those little twigs showing. So he starts with biceps. The chicken legs.
Getaway sticks.
All right, he starts with biceps. The incline curl, the dumbbell curl. And that, the incline curl is really actually really good. It hits your biceps in a way that most of us don't target. So when you're laying back a little bit more, you're able to extend it further. And then also that, does a...
Yeah, and that's like the lengthened position.
Yes, the lengthened position. Absolutely. And then he also does dumbbell curls and then triceps. You have to hit the triceps. And then you're focusing on the overhead extension tricep and then tricep dips or regular dips. That's still... Oh my gosh. When you do dips... when I'm doing dips, my triceps are on fire. I mean, you're really hitting them. And then calves, again, he's doing standing calf raises, seated calf raises. Oh, he's also doing tip raises. I did not see them. He's been watching a lot of knees over toes.
Yeah. Probably where he got it from.
Yeah, and he's also doing the neck exercises again. We'll put the link in the video.
Okay, so we just went through his 7-day split pretty much. Now we're going to kind of go and nitpick through some of these things and then kind of give our recommendations. So Anibal, let's start with the long endurance workout. So here's kind of what I'm thinking with this. I think this one's great. I think if you were to take out one of the days, I would take out that moderate intensity cardio day. And I would keep more of what's called LISS, low intensity steady state, zone 2, which is kind of what this one is. And I would keep the high intensity interval training. And then if you had to cut one of those, I would cut this one, the long, you know, the LISS one, the long endurance workout, and keep the HIIT. Here's why. Unless you incorporate this long endurance workout into your family time, I'm just thinking, like, at least who we're speaking to, which we're trying to speak to people who are busy, people who have families, and spending 75 minutes on a jog or on some machine or on a hike, like, that's a lot of time. So if you can incorporate that with your family, then yeah, keep this day. Maybe going on a hike with your family or a walk in the park with your family. Maybe you load up with a weighted vest. Maybe you hold some weights too. I don't know. You carry your kid. Yeah, you do something where you just increase the difficulty where, you know, you're in that zone too, which is you can still take a conversation on, but no more. So that's what I would say about the long endurance one, is maybe find a way to incorporate that into, you know, doing something with your family, doing something with your friends. That's why, that way it's not separate and you're not wasting 75 minutes, but it's sometimes hard to find time to do something for 75 minutes, especially if you're doing a 7-day split like this. Do you have any other thoughts on
that? That is such a good point. And like I said, not that this routine isn't good, it just may not be beginner friendly. The other thing that I personally like is doing full body splits over maybe push pull legs, bro split. They're all great different splits, and you can definitely switch it out. But so full body split meaning is you're hitting your whole body every workout. The reason I like it is, guess what? There's going to be times where you might miss one of your workouts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're doing
you will miss a workout eventually.
You're going to miss a workout. It happens. But if you're doing like a bro split or you're doing this push pull leg, you could possibly miss a whole body part. But if you're doing full body every workout session, one, you're gonna hit it more often. But two, in the event when that does happen and you miss a workout, you still hit legs, you still hit chest, you hit all the body parts. That's a whole
I think one big thing you're saying even behind that is consistency is the number one thing. So even if you miss a workout and can still get two workouts in with the full body, you're still going to be able to make the necessary gains and adequately stimulate the muscles and be consistent. With something like this, you know, if you miss this long endurance one, like, when are you going to make that up during this week? You're going to have to skip one of the other workouts or skip your recovery day, or like, there's not a lot of room for error if you can't get one of these in. And I'm just looking at this going, this is not sustainable for, especially like we're saying, people who are busy or have like families, unless your job allows you to do that. So that would be my only critique on the long endurance day, is maybe try and do it with your family. Now the leg training one, I've got some critiques on this one. I love that he is hitting his calves. I love that he's hitting the muscles from different angles. One thing that I noticed that this workout is lacking is squats and deadlifts. Now, squats and deadlifts might not be for everybody when we're talking about barbell, but the squatting and hip hinging movement is for everybody. Here's why. Unless you plan on avoiding bending over the rest of your life to pick things up from the floor, whether that be your kids or moving a rock in your garden, you need to train this movement pattern. So you can hold kettlebells, dumbbells, you can do goblet squats. But you need some sort of squatting motion that's free weight, or what we'd call more functional. He's got hack squats, but that's in a machine. That would be my biggest critique on this leg day, is they're all isolation lifts for his legs, and they're not incorporating. He's not getting the.
Well, talk about the argument that people say that free weights are more likely to lead to injuries over machines. Because I think that's the biggest argument that you'll hear.
Okay, so one big thing against that is what machines, while doing the exercise on a machine could, yes, maybe be a little safer. Think about this. If you're just doing hack squats, which again, safe, a lot, beginner friendly, definitely works your legs, definitely works your quads for sure. When you actually have to go squat, it's going to feel weird because you don't know how to incorporate other muscle groups. You don't know how to adequately brace your abdomen or use your arms to hold something while you squat. Think about that. So a lot of people end up hurting themselves if they switch from like doing isolation leg exercises and then try to go do deadlifts or barbell squats, because they They can do a lot on the hack machine and leg press, but they don't know how to brace. They don't know how to use these muscles synergistically in the movement. They just know how to isolate them. So that would be one big critique about hack squats and not having any sort of, you know, deadlift or hip hinge variation in the leg day. So that's something that I would probably throw in there. But glute ham raises are good, but they're still not as good as a hip hinge deadlift motion.
I just know that a lot of people, their biggest fear or concern is always injury with free weights. And I think it's because you kind of rush the process a little bit of trying to learn the movement. I think it really is that. And I know for myself too, when I was starting to learn how to properly do the major lifts, whether that was squat, bench press, all these compound lifts, is that you don't take the time to learn. You just want to add more weight. I get it. I was the same way. You want to keep adding more and more weight. Mm-hmm. You want to see the bar, more weight on the bar. But at times you're not learning the technique. And you, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, can get away with so many errors and having deficiencies in your technique when the weight's light. But when it gets heavy, you're going to find out real quick, oh, wait, I'm not squatting properly. I'm leaning more towards one side, or I'm not benching right because I keep tweaking my right shoulder. You'll find out real quick when the weight gets heavy.
You are so true on that. I have found that out way too many times. But yes, if you don't correct, you know, your form leading up to the heavyweights will humble you. Is there any critique you have on the leg day other than what I was saying about there's no real free weight squat movement or hip hinge movement?
I think I'm biased. I prefer free weights. I would say have most of your lifts be free weight lifts and then incorporating mm-hmm. machines. There's nothing wrong with machines. I think they're like Hamilton, they're very good for beginners, in my opinion, to build up to doing a bar, using like a barbell squat. That would be the only thing, is that, because I'm not getting it, what they're saying is that you can go closer to failure mm-hmm. on machines. I mean, like, but then again, what are you really trying to train for? Are you trying to be a bodybuilder or are you trying to be something else? It's like, that's why you have to figure out what kind of training.
This could look like a good bodybuilder lower leg day, even though bodybuilders mm-hmm. do back squats. But if this is like a foundation fitness protocol to be fit for life and longevity, I would say there needs to be a squatting and hinging movement. Because think about this, if you're going to pick your kid up from the ground, you're not going to like, hold on, let me support my back in this chair that's going to like lower me down so then I can lift him and push him up with my legs. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, you want to be able to bend down, pick him up, keep your back flat, and, you know, rise up.
Yeah. So I guess like, what are you really trying to work towards?
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, the heat and cold exposure recovery day. Man, that was a handful. So like we're saying, sauna and cold plunges are great. If you have access to them, you know, probably should do them. You know, if I had access to them, I would definitely do it. You know, I've heard him say, and people say like, well, you can, you know, turn your shower on all the way cold and go hot and kind of go back and forth. And it's like, you could probably do that. And there's probably some of the mental benefits, but I don't think it's going to get cold or hot enough to actually get the benefits that the sauna and the ice bath actually does. Because if it did, then people will just do that and not actually do the sauna and do the ice bath. So yeah, it might be good while you're traveling or if you don't have access to these things, but you're not going to get the same benefit of the sauna or the ice bath just doing it in your shower. Using the shower, like not putting ice in.
Okay, it needs to reach certain temperatures both ways.
Yes, exactly. What I would do instead, unless you have access to these things, is this is a lot of time spent doing this. I would do mobility on this day. So if you're going to do an active recovery day, I would get a yoga mat. You know, there's tons of YouTube videos. You know, we've got stuff on our Instagram page where you focus on some mobility, back, hips, shoulders. You know, use that as your recovery day and really, you know, free up some motion and get rid of some aches and pains so that you're, you know, able to conquer the week. And that can just take 20 minutes or less. You know, this is saying, what's that, 20 times 5 plus 5 minutes times, you know, like it's a lot. You're going to be doing this for hours. Do 20 minutes of mobility work. You can do more if you want, but that's what I would do on the recovery day instead of this.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half.
Yeah. I don't want to do math live, so I just said hours.
It's about an hour and a half. Yeah, hopefully I'm right. Why don't you let us know how long it actually is?
Yeah.
But that is true. And I think that's something that we were talking about is a lot of these programs that you see that some fitness influencers have, they're great for them. Mm-hmm.
Great for them. Good. That's a good point. Like, is this ideal fitness routine? Like, it sounds perfect on paper. It sounds really good, especially for what it wants to be. But it's, you can't be consistent doing this, I think, unless you have the perfect job and that allows you to take, you know, an hour and a half break every day, or maybe your family doesn't get home before you and you get off at 3, something. But for most people, there's no way you can be consistent with this.
And that's what leads me to, maybe you can have a variation of this. Maybe you don't do an hour and a half mobility, but you have like a weekly 15-minute routine. That's more due. That I think most people can get a 15-minute weekly mobility routine. Maybe you don't go on hour and a half hike or so on too, but you take on a family, you do a family hike. So you might be able to do some sort of variation of this to fit that into your schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with what you've said so far. Okay, the torso and neck training. I don't actually have much to say on this one because he's getting, you know, the pressing overhead movement in. He's got, you know, a bench press with the incline. He's doing pull-ups. He's doing rows. You know, he's rounding out the shoulders. Like, that's a great routine right there. I do something very similar. And I don't really have much critique on the neck and torso training day. Okay, then there's the cardiovascular moderate intensity. I'm gonna be honest, guys. Cardio like this is always the first thing to drop on my list when I've got a busy week. The weight training is always the thing that I try and stay and try and get in. And then, you know, I try to do the cardio either with my family or like I kind of do with mowing the grass and using a weight vest and, you know, walking around for an hour, kind of hiking or rucking, doing that. Those are always things that stay. The cardio, like something like this, is always something that's going to go unless I have time for it. What I would focus on instead, and maybe we can come back to this here in a second, Annabelle, is doing the HIIT training. Because in HIIT training, you can get a killer workout in 20 minutes or less. You literally cannot go very long during this. Like, the purpose of this.
Yeah. Why don't you share some of the benefits about HIIT and why you keep saying, why you are saying if you had to drop one, you would drop less and you would drop the moderate, but keep the HIIT.
Yeah. Okay. So biggest one is time. You know, time is a precious modality and this one takes less time. Number two is, there's different metabolic pathways. I don't know if we're going to get into this, but we'll get into it. There's different metabolic pathways that you can stimulate depending on the type of training that you do. When you do HIIT training, it definitely works cardio. It's working more anaerobic than aerobic, because aerobic means you have to be consistently doing something, getting your heart rate up for about 3 to 5 minutes plus. And then you kind of start to transition into what you'd call aerobic training. And when you do that, how you break down ATP and how your body gives you energy is different. What I like about the HIIT is that even when you stop the workout, you can still reap the benefits. Like, you can still burn fat and calories after you finish the workout. With aerobic, you can technically, quote, burn more calories, because maybe you can do it for longer periods. So, like, again, if you ran for 3 hours, you're going to burn a crap ton of calories, but you also just ran for 3 hours.
During.
Yeah. But as soon as you stop burning calories. You can do 20 minutes of HIIT and you can burn more calories as if you had just run an hour. So I would focus on that because of the time, because you can burn calories and fat even after the workout. And plus, I just like I like the changing of the heart rate. I think that helps more with VO2 max and longevity, because, you know, you can elevate your heart rate and then how fast can your heart rate, you know, go back down, and then you elevate your heart rate and then how fast can it go back down? So again, they're both good, but I always pick HIIT over LISS.
And this is for general health and fitness classes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right, Animal. We're not trying to train marathoners here. If you're a marathoner, definitely get your LISS in.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Last day, the arms, neck, and calves. Do you have any critiques on this one?
This kind of is the way I looked at it. It's like an accessory day,
mm-hmm.
which I think that there's nothing wrong with having an accessory day if it fits your schedule or mm-hmm. it depends on what kind of workout split you're doing. Maybe we should do an episode on that. There's so many different ways to break up your workout. There's like upper, lower, push, pull, bro split. There is a full body. And I'm sure there's way more than that.
There's definitely, you can even combine the two where you do push, pull, and full body. And on your like pull day, you know, you do some legs. And on your full body, you're obviously getting some more legs. Yeah, there's definitely a ton of different ways you can break this up.
So many ways you can go, yeah.
But in terms of an accessory day, this is great. I think incline curls are great. I think dips are great. I have really no critiques over how he's got his arms, neck, and calves training in there. And then Annabelle talked about at the beginning, but he does have a schedule A and schedule B, where he does more low repetitions with heavier weights with more rest, 2 to 4 minutes, and a schedule B where it's like 8 to 15 reps, a little higher reps, moderate to light weights, 90 seconds rest.
Explain to them like kind of like why, like periodization and why this could mm-hmm. benefit someone.
Yeah. So while we don't believe in muscle confusion, and you know, we've we talked about that, we do believe in progressive overload to a point, you know, your body's going to adapt to the point where we'll no longer, you have to change something. Now, I don't think that needs to be changed every workout or every set or anything like that, but it needs to change periodically to give your body a different stimulus, a different stress. Heavier weights gives your body more of a neuro stress than a muscular stress, and vice versa. They both work the muscles. They both work the, you know, neuro adaptations with how hard you can contract the muscles and all that kind of stuff. But again, there's still different stimuluses. Like, you're not going to get a muscle pump doing 3 reps of something, but you're going to definitely work a lot of the motor units in the muscle to contract harder versus doing like 15, 20 reps on a bicep curl. You know, you're going to fill that bad boy up with a bunch of blood and get that pump and feel, you know, really full. But it's not going to stimulate as much of those motor units and neural connections as something heavy. So it's good to switch it up. What I would critique on this is 8 reps, 4 to 8 reps is it's kind of getting to the higher rep. I would, and this is just nitpicking, I would say more of like 3 to 6 reps, maybe about 5 reps being kind of the sweet spot with the heavy days. Because 8 is, I mean, there's so many different ways you can break it up and all this stuff, but 8 reps is getting a little high. I know I can't do something. We're talking heavy. And, I, you know, 3 to 5 reps is where I would probably stay with heavy weights and then switch to like 8 to 15 reps for the next phase. I'd also stay in this. I would probably stay in them longer than a month. I would probably stay with them 6 to 8 weeks before you switch, or when you start to stall. But I would stay in a phase a little bit longer than just 4 weeks. And I would probably do, I want to see what you think about this, Annabelle. I would probably, and it's also interesting too, because of how he's got his split up with, you know, having a lot of accessory exercises. I know we already talked about, we'd want to put some squats and some, you know, deadlifts in there. But with some of those like accessory, like lateral raises, I'm not going to do 3 reps on lateral raises heavy. You know, some of these exercises, I would always stick with, you know, the 8 to 15 reps and just cycle through, because that's a wide rep range, 8 to 15 reps. You know, building up your weight till you hit 15 reps and then, you know, increasing the weight and then maybe dropping back down to 8 and building up. So maybe more of the accessories I wouldn't go heavy on. Those will always stick within the 8 to 15 reps. But with like the major compound lifts, I would switch up the schedule A and schedule B on those compound lifts, not the accessory lifts. That's where it gets a little confusing.
Yeah, he doesn't really see much. I'll give him the benefit of doubt. Maybe he does focus a little bit different. on his ice, some of the true oscillation lifts.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't really put it on here. It could be like this is more for like the his version of the bigger lifts. So there could be that. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Again, this is just on a one-page PDF, and we're critiquing it. So
yeah, I mean, based on what that one-page document says, and yeah, there needs to be more guidance on how is he really changing. I mean, it could be that he knows, like, okay, this month maybe I did 8 to 10, and the next month I'm going to do 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
But right here, it doesn't say that.
Yeah.
He probably wants you to get the premium package, the premium version, so you can get all the juicy details.
We ain't paying for that. Okay, so overall thoughts, Annabelle. What's your kind of overall thoughts about this program?
Overall thoughts, it's good for him and good for maybe someone who's intermediate to maybe advanced, and if it fits your schedule. It's definitely not beginner friendly or someone who's just starting out or, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Yeah, I would say something similar with, you know, I think a beginner would do so much better with just starting 3 days full body or even 3 days push-pull legs, mm-hmm. or maybe even 3 days of how he's got his legs, push-pull, and then accessory, like maybe even that. We definitely would recommend full body before all that because of Annabelle, like what Annabelle said earlier. That's one thing I would say. And then I would say if it fits your schedule, then you add in a HIIT session. And then if it fits your schedule, you do a long cardio day with your family, riding bikes, walking in the park, holding your kids or weighted vest or weight, whatever.
I did like that you said that. That's like an easier one to incorporate with the family.
Mm-hmm. And even like the HIIT session, you technically don't need to go to the gym for that. You could just have a jump rope and a kettlebell. Jump rope in your body weight. I mean, you try doing jump squats, jump rope, and burpees in a, you know, all out fashion. Like you won't go longer than 15 or 20 minutes, I promise. That's kind of what my biggest takeaway is from this is it's not beginner friendly. I think that's my biggest thing. You got anything else, Annabelle?
That's all I got. Got that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you found this helpful. You know, we're not by any means discrediting Huberman or anything like that. I like his podcast. I like, you know, a lot of his protocols that he has. I like this protocol. We're just saying it's not beginner friendly.
Yeah. We're just trying to draw awareness because I think a lot of people see these guys that they look up to or gals that look up to and they're like, man, to get to where they are, I have to do all these things. And the thing mm-hmm. is, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. You need to know where to start, and that's how we're trying to shot a line on. Because a lot of times you get confused, and you know you see these guys' workout, and you have to do all these. There's ways to get up, build up your routine. That's what I'm trying to get to. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm fumbling my build up your routine over time. Is what I'm trying to say.
Stack those wins, baby.
Yeah.
All right, man. So guys, just remember that you are human, and you should not seek perfection, but daily improvement. We'll see you guys.
You guys.